Please pray with me. Lord Jesus, you are here, but we cannot see you. You speak, but we cannot hear you. You act, though it is hard to sense your power. Jesus, I ask that you minister to us today, in spite of how hard it is to be aware of those things. Jesus, this is all for your glory. We give you this time and we pray in your name. Amen. So, anyone ever notice just how strange the layout of this service is? This Palm Sunday routine, where we start off with this declaration of the kingship of Jesus, and then we immediately start talking about his death. Isn't that a little bit odd? Shouldn't we just kind of do one or the other? This is always one of the hardest services, I think, to preach, because it's just, there's so much back and forth going on. It's like the heights of celebration and the depths of misery all at once. Well, I think there's a lot of significance in that. And so I'm going to focus today on the triumphal entry, but holding in tension this strangeness of how Jesus acts and what happens right after the triumphal entry. So every morning I like to catch up on the news. Like to read the headlines, see if the world has ended during the night. Reading the news is it's a great exercise. It's a little bit like chewing glass. I recently finished reading a book on World War I, because reading the daily news is not enough. So reading a book on all of the events of World War I in excruciating detail, that's another exercise in clinical depression. And then, having enjoyed all that reading material, I go into my office and spend my day working with people who are struggling very, very deeply in their lives, struggling with the depths of despair and anxiety and loss and all the various forms of human suffering that can afflict a human being. So that's fun. I would love to just simply enjoy the triumphalism of life that says it's all good, things are well, things are excellent. Whatever is going bad, it's going to get better. And I would love to just sort of linger in that space. But I find that in my own life, there's this sort of back and forth between the glory and the darkness. As much as I want to raise this palm branch and talk about glory, I also find myself staring into the abyss. I find myself with the feeling that in spite of our best, in spite of all that we do that's good and great and noble and excellent, that maybe things won't work out, that maybe things will go dark anyway. And I find that I'm not alone in those sentiments. Sir Edward Grey, the British Foreign Secretary at the time that the United Kingdom entered the First World War, said to a friend, he said, "The lamps are going out all over Europe. We shall not see them lit again in our lifetime." That was a time of glory and despair as the great empires of Europe tore themselves to the ground. All the greatness and all the glory and all the misery of the abyss. just after that hideous war, poet W.B. Yeats wrote a poem called The Second Coming, and he said in that, "Things fall apart, the center cannot hold, mere anarchy is loosed upon the world." Well, yeah, after everything that Europe went through at that point, things had fallen apart. But Mr. Yeats was not original in these thoughts by at least a few thousand years. The author of Ecclesiastes said, "Meaningless, meaningless, utterly meaningless, everything is meaningless." There's a fine reflection on the way that life is. There is all of the glory, all of the glory. And then there is the abyss. What do we do with that? What do we do with that fact? I believe Palm Sunday confronts us with that challenge, because right here, collected into the very structure of our service, is this incredible incongruity that life is made of, that there is goodness, there's greatness, there's all that is wonderful, and then there is the abyss. What do we do with that? Well, we are holding palm branches, right? Every year from my childhood was handed a palm branch on Palm Sunday. Never knew quite what to do with it. I would try and make it into a cross. Never worked. It always came out looking like an asterisk. That was what I thought of. But as the years went by, I began to realize there's some significance in these palm branches, because we're making a statement. We're making a statement right in the midst of this world with all of its glory and all of its misery. We're making a statement with these palm branches. And what are we saying with these palm branches? When we hold these aloft, what do we say? Hosanna. Hosanna. We proclaim Jesus. Hosanna. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. In the midst of all that is good and great and all that is miserable and dark, we make this declaration that cuts through it all. Hosanna. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. When we hold these palm branches aloft, we are declaring that there is a king in heaven. There is a king. And by holding these palm branches aloft, we are declaring that not only is there a king, there is the king, the high king, the conquering king, the one who will truly and finally set all things right. And yet, we're also acknowledging that this great king has come not riding on a war horse, but on a donkey. He has come wearing not armor, but the clothes of a carpenter. He comes bearing not a sword, but humble and perfect obedience to his Father. As we raise these aloft, we acknowledge that this high king did not go to a throne, but to a cross. What shall we make of this king? What are we saying when we declare this king, this Jesus, the high king? Are we saying that he must be enthroned and overcome all of those things in the way of earthly kings, or we will flee from him? Or are we open to the fact that, in fact, he is going to enact his power and establish his rule like no other king ever has or ever will? That somehow, as he enters into all of the strange bipolarity of Palm Sunday, all of the glory and all of the abyss, as he enters into that and plunges into Passion Week as he does, and ultimately goes to the cross, that somehow, in a way that we do not experience in this world through any other source, somehow this king is going to establish his power and his rule through all of this. What will this king do? Well, he will either crush sin utterly, or he will only beat it back for the moment, leaving it to rise again, renewed and undeterred. He will either annihilate sickness entirely, or he will offer momentary comfort, and the disease will return and grow and spread and in the end kill. He will either overcome sadness completely, or he will leave our mourning hearts to merely smile through the tears. He will either subvert silliness and the absurdity of this world forever, or he will simply share some wise thoughts and some grand ideas, but leave ignorance and madness in the minds of men. This king has come to destroy sin, sickness, sadness, silliness, death itself, and their author, Satan. When we hold these palm branches aloft, we make a declaration. We are saying that this king will prevail. No matter what happens in the week ahead, this king will prevail. No matter what happens in this world, this king will prevail. By holding these palm branches aloft, we come down on the side of a divine victory that is something that can only be achieved by God himself. By holding these aloft, we are declaring that King Jesus has come not just to deal with the mere symptoms of the darkness that covers this world, political systems, oppressors, big and small, diseases, war, poverty, addiction, violence, hatred, all the stuff that besets our world. He has not come simply to deal with those things because they're all just symptoms. No, he has come to address the root of all evil and therefore release into this world a new kind of kingdom, one of holiness, wholeness, joy, and wisdom. This King Jesus has come to usher in the kingdom of God, and he will not stop until it is finished. As you and I go into this holy week, I encourage you to think about your palm branch. I encourage you to think about this bipolarity that all of this embodies. And this King Jesus who has come to set you free. Is there any part of your life that you wish to keep outside the scope of his sovereignty? Is there any part of our city's life which you are willing to leave in the hands of the enemy? Is there any part of our country's life or our world's life that you are willing to leave in the hands of the enemy? Jesus is about to go to the cross to deal with all of it. Do you trust him as king? Do you know what this means? Hosanna. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Amen.